First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 10th, 2021. Mark chapter 14. The Blood.
Please rise. Join me in reading Mark 14, 23 through 24. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." You may be seated.
I hope I do justice to our theme, because it is the blood of Christ shed on the cross. The Word of God. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, that identifies the day, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." Eating the Passover was the customary practice for every Jew. 14th of Nisan. However, Jesus gave a requirement, and it was unusual. Typically, men did not carry pitchers of water on their heads. You see a image. Men typically carried skins of water, bags of water, smaller, but the women did the heavy work. A man carrying water in a pitcher would be unusual. This was a sign that he's prepared to lead. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, "The teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" We learn that Jesus was well known to the householder, the master of the house. The teacher says, he doesn't explain who he is other than the teacher. This was likely not a room at the inn, but a second story covered building with generally an external set of stairs to enter into the upper room. There is perhaps a hint of messianic sovereignty in the word, "Where is my guest room?" Jesus expected the one to yield, and there was no question about him yielding. The room was Jesus. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." All four Gospels portray Jesus announcing the betrayal. The one who is eating with me. There was a cup for the communion bread. And Hitz said that it was spicy. Sharing the sauce, if I mistyped, of dried fruits, spice, and vinegar. Some of it is up your alley. If you like salsa hot, it's for you. But the normal Jew struggled eating much of it. For the Son of Man is to go, just as it is written him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Take note. It would be have been good for that man if he had not been born. Woe to him. Jesus is not pronouncing a criticism, but compassion. Woe to that man, because Judas is said to have gone, quote, to his own place, unquote. Now, Judas can still change his mind. Jesus has compassion for them, but Judas is responsible for his actions. All the Gospels say similar words, but Jesus is moved with compassion for Judas Iscariot, but it's by his own choice that he betrays the Lord of glory. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. We'll back up and have explanation of Jesus' words. Paul says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to discover anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us, catch this, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. How many people are justified by the law? Anyone? Verbalize your answer. How many people are justified by the law? No one. No one. James 2:10, the law condemns. The law says how guilty we are, but the Spirit of God gives life. Christ's blood is the foundation of God's work of grace. Christ's blood will be the new foundation of Israel's new relationship with God in the future. Christ's blood is the foundation of our relationship now with God as members of His church. Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. The new covenant was spoken of in the Old Testament. In general, this describes God's new deal with Israel she will find during the future kingdom. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah and with the house, the house was Israel and with the covenant house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers, not like the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant possessed obligations. You had to obey God. You had to honor God. You had to prefer God and trust Him more so because the new, the Mosaic covenant was a covenant of punishment. Israel and Judah lost the land possession because failure to keep the Mosaic covenant. There's God's new deal, the new covenant, because he is going to do a new work in the hearts of Israel, the minds of Israel, and he will do it no matter what. He will change them. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Notice, and they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why? For they shall all know me. This is in the future. This is in the kingdom. All shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. It was between God and Israel in the kingdom. It brought them one inner awareness of God and forgiveness of their sins. The church today is designed to provoke Israel to jealousy, because what the church has, an inner testimony of God and forgiveness of sins, Israel needs to wait for the new covenant. The church today has the same benefits coming to Israel in the future new covenant, because Christ's blood purchased them for us too. We have the Holy Spirit of God among us. That gives the inner awareness of God, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, and forgiveness of sins that lasts. You know that Hebrews speaks of the blood of bulls and goats is insufficient for purchasing our redemption. It was annually renewed on the Day of Atonement, but Christians have a one-time, forever-lasting forgiveness. I will read scripture and tell me if it reminds you of a New Testament passage. Ezekiel 36. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Does this call to mind a New Testament gospel, New Testament passage? Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about this. In John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Traditionally, it's one of the most misunderstood passages in the Bible, because this is a single event. One verb is used to describe it. I can't tell you how many messages I've heard. What's the water birth? What's the Spirit birth? It's a single event, not two consecutive events. A water birth and a Spirit birth simultaneously. I want to look at the first section of Ezekiel 36. I will sprinkle water. I will cleanse your filthiness. I will put a new heart and new spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you. It's talking about this, and Jesus gives the follow-up, "Are you, Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel, the master of Israel, and knoweth not these things?" Nicodemus should have known it. There was a water spirit birth prophesied about, and Jesus gives it with his blood. For us, Christ's blood of his cross makes our forgiveness possible. Trusting Christ's death for us opens up God's grace and gives us salvation. Christ's blood earns us, obligates us, causes us to enter the way for the possibility of eternal salvation, the indwelling presence of God, and forgiveness. God's made us ministers of reconciliation as we push people to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Notice, God does the reconciling, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, finding guilty, their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 1984 was a book that gave a pessimistic view of mankind. Socialists usually offer an optimistic view of mankind, and so on 1984 and surprisingly, pessimistically, evil conquers. Some have suggested the pessimism became because Orwell was dying as he wrote. Actually, he was merely experiencing a dilemma he had seen for some time. He knew that man's central problem was the death of Christian belief. In 1944, he wrote, quote, "Since about 1930, the world has given no reason for optimism whatever. Nothing is in sight except a welter of lies, hatred, cruelty, and ignorance. And beyond our present trouble loom vaster ones, which are only now entering into to the European consciousness. It's quite possible that man's major problem will never be solved. The real problem is to restore the religious attitude while accepting death as final. Men can only be happy when they do not assume the object of life is happiness." Before then, in 1940, he had written of Europeans' rejection of God, which he discussed this way, quote, "For 200 years, we had sawed and sawed and sawed at the branch we were sitting on. In the end, much more suddenly than anyone had foreseen, our efforts were rewarded, and down we came. But unfortunately, there has been a little mistake. The thing at the bottom was not a bed of roses at all. It was a cesspool full of barbed wire. It appears that amputation of the soul isn't just a simple surgical job like having your appendix out. The wound has a tendency to go septic. The world needs Christ. The world needs the application of the blood of Christ. Will we find it?"